When do we want them?
Now!
Who do we want?
Trade!
Now, where do we want them?
School!
Who do we want?
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Stop shouting already. What do you think you're doing?
Helping you, that's what.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR, Beckley.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's the Friday evening edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What a beautiful evening it is outside. You know, I did with a little more high tech, it would be a perfect day to sort of do a live remote from the back patio with stuff sizzling on the grill and beverages of all stripe. In a zinc tub with ice all over them and a little rock salt sprinkled on them to make it even colder. Oh, that would be good. That would be very nice. This is the way the week should end, with beauty and with just the magic of spring. This is the real deal. So enjoy yourself tonight. The phone numbers, of course, 252-6200 round hereabouts, and outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We're more than happy to pay the freight if you're outside the general dialing area. You, of course, can listen to the show every night, streamed live on the internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And among other things, there's a portal there that links to my website, headonradio.com, land of vigorous and occasionally fierce debate in the message boards. Jump on over, sign up, it's free, have fun. And you can also send emails there to bob@headonradio.com. Our friend David, South Carolina David, as opposed to Tennessee David, as opposed to West Virginia David. We're David poor here at Head On. South Carolina David wrote in, didn't get to it last night, but it's worth mentioning because we were talking about the Eric Rudolph matter. And David notes that Karl Rove had the Rudolph trial delayed until the presidential race was over. He was playing the percentages. Our state, and he's referring to South Carolina, our state reps outlawed gay marriage and made fetuses people. They can't get the bill to outlaw power termination for the disabled out of committee, however. And that's a real issue for David because he's dealing with it on the ground, as it were. In South Carolina, it's apparently legal for power companies that use Appalachia, you know, our coal. It's legal for them to cut the power off to old people who have to have it, young people who have to have it, disabled people who need it, you know, literally to stay alive. But, of course, the corporatists and the greed heads need the money. I can't make it work. You know, this is one of those red faith-based states, and I can't make it work for me. I'm sorry. Up here... considerably different question that I would like to put out for your consideration. And I don't know the entirety of the rules for it, but in some school systems, there's a rule about how many notes from home the school can accept in regard to a child's illness. And I'm wondering if maybe this doesn't breed a sort of fearful culture where children get sent back to school before they're well enough or while they're still infectious or viral or, you know, bug-ridden. Because we've got whatever this spring flu is banging around at the Kincaid manse. And it's making its second round. got him well, not viral anymore, sent him back to school, right into the viral cesspool. Is there such a rule about four notes from home or whatever? Is there some sort of pressure on well, we know that thanks to No Child Behind left, that there are attendance pressures on the school, the very slim margin for which can be the difference between a school's being a passing school or a failing school under No Child Behind left. Is that somehow unwittingly, and I do mean unwittingly, it is after all a George Bush program, wits wouldn't be something you'd associate with it. Are we unwittingly encouraging the formation of a culture of viruses? Yeah, I mean, we've already got a culture of life. Is this the culture of viral? I don't know. All I know is this is round two in the Kincaid house for whatever this bug is going around, and it's making everybody miserable. Ugh. My littlest, along about 4 o'clock this morning, came in. Daddy, I don't feel so good. Rup. You know, it's your heart breaks. You know, she had the fever, she had the sore throat, she had the upset stomach. And she didn't have it a couple of days ago when she went back to school and caught it again. Spring flu redux. And the thing is, you know, and I try not to be a worry. You know, when you're a parent, you worry. And I'm feeling her head, and she's hot, and she doesn't feel good, and she's all fluey and achy. And, you know, because I sit there and I read all this news and all this information, and then I see the one where the CDC sent the one of the most toxic, deadly flu viruses in the country out around to the various and sundry labs of, you know, marginal, questionable sterile technique. And I'm thinking, nah, no, please, no. But, you know, that's what you get with a negligent regime such as we have. Science doesn't matter to these people. It's all a matter of faith. You know, so scientific sterile technique is not nearly as important as praying that people don't get the flu. Oy vey. I can't make it work in my little noggin. But I do know that we've got some real misery in the house. And arguably it ought not have to be that way, except for the fact that parents feel compelled to hustle little Johnny back into school while he's still be snotted and be flued and be bugged and be viraled, because the parents get pressure, because the schools get pressure, because No Child's Behind left. Ugh. Do you understand how... And I'm willing to grant that maybe somewhere along the way someone had some good intentions on No Child's Behind left. But the road to where is paved with what? Yeah. You see, I tell you what, let's go ahead and take our break. Again, you know what the phone number is, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Help me out a little bit. Perk me up. Let's go out with a bang on this Friday evening. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
too much at the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles per the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes, 40 miles per the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota. Visit www.toyota.com for details. Sale ends 4/31.
It's time for the YMCA Spring Break Camp. It happens April 18th through the 22nd at the YMCA from 7:30 to 5:30 every day. Just bring your swimsuits, towels, and a packed lunch, or $3 for lunch. There will be swimming, movies, outings, and most of all,
FUN.
Call 252-0715 for more information. That's 252-0715 for the YMCA Spring Break Camp. And remember, summer's just around the corner. The YMCA Summer Day Camp is a safe, fun, and exciting way for your child to spend the summer. You can sign up now at the Y.
For many kids, high school graduation is still a dream, not a reality. For them, a brighter future might be within view, but not within reach. I'm Denzel Washington, and I'm asking you to help the thousands of children who need to be given that opportunity. Call 1-800-854-CLUB and support a program that works. The Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Hey, welcome back. 18 minutes after 7 o'clock, and let's go right to the phones. Jim's been waiting. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Reasonably well, yourself?
Yeah, I'm getting by.
Well, good. You know, I would just like to bring a couple things to your attention, if I may, please.
Certainly.
You know, today marks the 93rd anniversary of the sinking of the Royal Mail steamer Titanic.
Yes.
And, of course, the ship struck the berg on the evening of April 14th at 11:40, and the sea closed over the stern around 2:20 on the 15th.
Still amazing, isn't it?
But that ship was driven to a watery grave by one thing, Mr. Kincaid, corporate greed. The same type of corporate greed that is driving this country to a similar fate.
And wasn't there a deliberate choice where the Titanic was concerned, Jim? A deliberate choice with regard to the lifeboats?
Exactly. The corporate entities that drove the International Mercantile Marine Company, which was the parent company of the White Star Line, it was really the White Star Line, their reasoning was that to put too many other lifeboats, which of course were in line with the British Board of Trade regulations, but to have put enough lifeboats on the ship would have impaired passageway or blocked the view of the promenade deck for the first class passengers.
Ah, yes, the beautiful people.
Right.
For one of a nail shoe was lost, huh?
So, I mean, you know, at around midnight, after the ship's carpenter sounded the ship and Captain Smith was told by the builder, Thomas Andrews, that this ship had less than an hour and a half to live, that view didn't do him a hell of a lot of good.
No, it didn't.
Because from its decks, a lot of them saw eternity.
You're absolutely right. No laughing.
You know, and,
no laughing matter, but, you know.
I'm not bringing it up in a laughing matter.
No.
Because that's a very, very, not many people remember. I would dare say it reminded you today's the 93rd anniversary of its sinking, but it's always been something with me because of personal reasons. But I feel like the same type of corporate mentality is not only alive, but flourishing too well in the corridors of power in our own nation's capital. And basically, this country is being driven into a same type of pattern of destruction, just like the Titanic was.
Yeah, and is there a similarity between the captain of the Titanic and the CEO of our nation, as he likes to think
of
himself?
Well, I think that, and of course, some of us of the people who were over the captain of the Titanic or who advised him. You know?
And look,
it's hard to say. I mean,
and look,
place blame and difference. I mean, the blame, regardless of who's to blame, I mean, yes, there is a definite analogy between the CEO of the White Star Line and, of course, our own CEO, Mr. Bush, and also other members of the government who seem to really care more for the interests of corporate America than they do the citizens of this state and this nation.
Well, as we, you bring up the possibility for reference to a number of different things. The Wall Street dumped something on the order of over, well, they dumped over 100 points on three different days this week.
Absolutely.
And, but fortunately for us, as is to extend the analogy, fortunately for corporate America, they get the lifeboats. We get the, the middle class gets the icy waters.
Well, I think they don't even consider us to be second class. They consider us to be steerage.
Oh yeah, we're riding steerage, Jim. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, you know,
we get
second class was luxury compared to some of the steerage passengers. Yeah,
we get the big drink of salt water and the long dark nap.
Exactly. I mean, you know, let's face it. I mean, if this country continues on its present course under its current leadership, a lot of people are going to be having sand for supper. And I can tell you this, it's going to be not only steerage class, it's going to be all classes.
And yet, somehow or another, we're still concerned that this is all happening because we don't have five-ton rocks in schools. I mean,
no, that's not it.
No. But, Jim, it's...
In some people's minds,
it's the ADD.
These theocrats who want to have that, they seem to think it's more important to have it engraved in stone than in your heart.
True, and it's also the ADDization of America, if you know what I mean.
ADDization.
The attention deficit disorderization of America.
Exactly. Well, I mean, they want to keep people as fat, dumb, and stupid as long as they possibly can. But, you know, that will not continue. And as I said on the Dr. O'Brien show this afternoon, I say this, and I'll say it again. Workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains.
And the chains are getting bigger and heavier all the time, aren't they?
Arise, you wretched, from the earth, and let's sing the Internationale.
Well, I tell you what, if that's what it takes to get people to stand behind, to get...
Well, people don't do what's good for them because they want to. They have to be made to do it.
Well, I think you may be right, Jim, but...
They have to be kicked in the butt. Sometimes it takes a very strong solution.
Does it take a kick in the pants?
Yes,
when you're making choices between gasoline and groceries, does it take a kick in the pants?
I think that's a pretty big cap right there. But I'm just pointing to the forces of historical inevitability.
Yeah. I understand.
And that's what I base my reference on. And you know, I'll make no bones about it. You know, I would nationalize whatever I had to correct the course of this situation.
Well, it's very interesting. I saw a comparison of world fuel prices on a per gallon basis not too long back, Jim. We're forever fond of saying, well, you know, the Europeans are paying $6.85 a gallon for gas, and they are.
But they've got a great transportation system too.
Yeah, and when you strip the taxes away, I think according to the chart that I saw, France and Germany were paying about $1.72 a gallon to our $2.02 a gallon. Once you strip the taxes away from all of them, this is the base cost.
Right.
And yet France and Germany and Italy and these $6.85 a gallon nations, they get something for their taxes.
Yes, they do. They have a social welfare system, and I say that proudly. They have a safety net, and they have compassion, and they have the experience of a lot more years of hard knocks than we do. And they are telling us, "Are you going to have to go through the same thing that we went through?"
Well, it's
where we are today.
It's frightening. I mean, I pointed it out a few nights ago on the show. All these quotes from all these.
concerned Republican leaders who were willing to lambast Bill Clinton over $25 a barrel oil.
Oh, I know.
And it's nothing but chirping crickets in the Congress now. Those strong, rock-ribbed, morally outraged Republicans are nowhere to be seen, and a bunch of them are still in the Congress. I mean, Jim Sensenbrenner is still there, and he accused the Clinton-Gore administration of fraud over $25 a barrel oil, and he is as quiet as the inside of an ancient tomb. When it comes to $56 a barrel oil, as long as it's on the watch of President Titanic.
Well, you know, I think the attitude of some of those people up there is they posture and they grandstand, and basically some of them are up there as careerists wanting to be just reelected. And then, you know, they might posture and hiss and, you know, like two cats, and then after it's all over, they go in the cloakroom and say, oh, well, no hard feelings, buddy, it's just politics.
Forget about it, Jake, it's Chinatown.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's K Street that's driving this country. It's not the that's who's behind a lot of this stuff. It's the lobbyists, and it's, I mean, for example, this bankruptcy bill that went through.
Oh Lord!
I mean, it's the American Banking Association and the credit card company.
Sure.
And they've been trying to get this thing through for years and years and years and years and years. And you know, and now what they've done, they basically have taken away. They have classified everybody who has to file for bankruptcy as someone who has gone to the shopping mall and gone nuts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or has been irresponsible. But 80% of people who file for bankruptcy have done so because of medical catastrophes.
Yeah, medical catastrophes.
Things beyond their control.
Job losses, divorce.
Well, I mean, situations, let's just leave everything but medical catastrophes out of it, okay?
Yeah.
That's something you can't argue with. I mean, not even the right-wing Christians can argue with that.
Well, I'll tell you the one that really broke me up, Jim, was the fact that there was an attempt to amend that bankruptcy bill to give protection to our soldiers. And
well, now, let me ask you this. Isn't a part of that current legislation, doesn't it provide safe havens for people who can afford the lawyer protection within states within this country? They don't even have to go offshore to protect their assets?
Absolutely.
And so, basically, it protects the rich and the super rich who really could cough it up and pay their bills, but don't want to. And it leaves the basic middle class and the poor, or the steerage class, for lack of a better term, virtually defenseless, and putting them into a 3 to 5 year lockdown of mandatory payments.
Yeah, whether they've got the money to pay it or not.
I mean, are they going to start building debtors' prisons now?
That's the logical extension, isn't it, Jim?
Well, it is in my mind. Now, maybe I'm all wrong here. Please correct me.
Jim, I mean, no. You began with the Titanic analogy, okay?
Right.
Let's go back to that for a minute.
Okay.
How far off the port or starboard beam was the iceberg when they sighted it?
Oh, it was probably less than 800 yards out, because that night the sea was so calm and there were no waves to at least give the ship's lookout an idea that there was something large that was bobbling around.
And
there weren't enough binoculars for the lookout spot.
And so, with that in mind, they knew they were about to hit one.
But they did. And basically,
And we know we are about to hit the economic equivalent of an iceberg.
Effectively, yes. Yes.
The
man in the crow's nest has already run the bridge, and the bridge is now telling, you know, well, we've struck an iceberg, or we're on a collision course with one. Now, what do we do?
And with a lot of
turn the wheel.
Yeah, with a lot of the actions we're seeing out of this administration, Jim, the response of the bridge is to crack open another case of champagne. The condemned ate heartily, in other words.
Well, I guess so. It's a terrible analogy to make, but, I mean, it's one that's very clear to me.
And me as well. Thank you. Thank you for helping with me with that. Jim, you have a good evening, all right?
Likewise, sir.
Take care. All right, time for our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, more of your phone calls and a little of this and a little of that seems to be rolling around in the news. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A McDowell County man has been convicted of 110 counts involving sexual abuse. A McDowell County Circuit Court jury deliberated over 2 days before convicting 44-year-old Samuel Saunders of war. Prosecutor Sid Bell says the crimes occurred over 10 years when the female victim ranged in age from 8 to 18. Two men accused in the arson death of a prominent McDowell County politician and doctor will remain in jail. A judge yesterday denied bond for 25-year-old Tom Owens and 28-year-old Charles Jason Lively. Both are from Yeager. Both are charged with first-degree murder, first-degree arson, and conspiracy in the death of Eb Keister Doc Whiteley Jr., who died March 15th in his home from fire. Circuit Judge Booker T. Stevens directed defense lawyers to file former written motions for a bond. Stevens indicated he'll revisit the bond request after receiving the motion. Some West Virginia doctors say it could be more difficult for Medicaid patients to get services if money for the program is cut off. Dr. Alex Scaff, a Charleston anesthesiologist, says that if the reimbursement for doctors is decreased with the proposed cuts, they might not be able to treat some Medicaid patients or might have to reduce the number of days they can see Medicaid patients. The State Board of Education has ordered Hampshire County School Board to return $35,000 to the state after a review found the grant was not approved. The review's findings were detailed today at the state's meeting in Parkersburg. The recent completed legislative session was a disappointing one for Raleigh County. Bills that would have added a sixth magistrate and formally created a building code authority failed to pass. Magistrate Mary Jennings personally campaigned for a sixth magistrate before a legislative interim meeting at the Capitol. A Senate bill did not get out of the Judiciary Committee, while a House version also failed to pass. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. Great weekend coming up. This evening clear, temperatures around 55. Tonight clear with a low 34. Could be some scattered frost in the morning. Otherwise Saturday sunny, high near 65. Clear Saturday night, low again 35. Sunny on Sunday, high upper 60s, and Sunday night clear with a low near 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
On Wednesday, a major union merger was announced between the United Steelworkers and Pace. The new name, the United Steel, Paper and Forestry, Rubber Manufacturing, Energy, Allied Industrial, and Service Workers International Union, or USW for short, is big and long, to be sure. But Executive Vice President Boyd Young explained that the merger wasn't just about getting bigger.
We both said that if all we were going to do is get bigger, we should not merge. This merger from day one has been about building power.
None of the member industries make up more than 28% of the union. President Leo Girard says that diversity is going to provide strength against corporations that aren't worker-friendly.
But those employers who want to rob our members and our families of a decent future, rob our retirees and our workers of decent retirement, they will find that they have one of the toughest adversaries they've ever seen.
The national movement to win fair wages for service workers on college campuses continues, this time with a statewide action in California. Vinny Lombardo has the story.
University of California service workers staged a one-day strike at 9 campuses and 5 medical centers statewide Thursday to demand better pay, advancement opportunities, and an end to hiring discrimination. When their contract expired last June, shuttle bus driver Larry Cheek was tapped as the UC Santa Cruz rep on AFSCME's statewide bargaining committee.
right from the very start. They've refused to bargain fairly on almost any issue. And they claim that we don't deserve a raise because we don't produce a profit for the university.
Workers haven't had a raise in almost 3 years. Cheek says the low pay is a policy decision and not a budget problem, as the UC claims. A recent study backs up that position.
The fact finder found that the university had over $5 billion in reserves, more money than a lot of small countries have.
Talks with UC Regents resume Monday. If their demands are not met, workers say they'll continue with a larger strike action in the near future. Vinnie Lombardo in Santa Cruz for the Workers Independent News.
The U.S. House passed a bankruptcy reform bill Thursday that opponents say is a harsh attack on the poor. Credit card companies, though, hailed the bill that makes it harder to wipe out debts in a bankruptcy. Here's today's Dow Bob report. According to the World Bank, the world's 200 richest people hold combined wealth of more than $1 trillion. That wealth now equals the income of the world's poorest 2.5 billion people. The World Bank says roughly 3 billion people in the world live on less than $2 a day, while 500 million live on under $1 a day. In the U.S., between 1945 and 1970, all income groups saw advancement, but since 1973, income inequality in the U.S. has grown considerably. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 23 minutes before 8 o'clock, continuing with Jim's Titanic analogy. Conveniently, we have a story in the local news this evening. As you're well aware, the Bush administration has advocated the idea of zeroing out funding for Amtrak at a time when we are facing what is referred to as peak oil. You know, in other words, the production has reached its peak, and now we start to downside of the bell curve. We're trying to kill the public funding of mass transit. That one's making my head hurt. But again, it's Titanic thinking. Listen to this and see if it strikes you the same way that it struck me. The Bush administration is sending Congress its plan to turn Amtrak into a private operator. Under the proposal, a federal-state partnership would focus on running trains, wait for it, but would not be responsible for maintaining tracks or station. Is this like making bricks without straw?
Yeah, we're going to fund the trains, we're just not going to fund the tracks.
Holy smoke. We're actually paying somebody to come up with ideas like this? Transportation Department says the federal government would offer 50-50 matching grants to states for infrastructure projects.
Hey, we're going to let you build the tracks.
Well, what comes to mind? Well, the gauge of tracks changes, or at least it used to. I don't know if it still does. When you went from Europe into the Soviet Union, went from one gauge to another, you had to stop the train and literally change the wheels. State control is better. There are some things that our government is better at than the greed sector. I'm sick to death with having the debate and the language taken from me. It's not the private sector, baby. It's the greed sector. The greed sector, for instance, has no business in anything dealing with the fundamental day-to-day needs of American citizens. The greed sector has proven time and time again that it is not fit and is not capable of running, for instance, a water system. And yet many of us here in this state and many people in the eastern United States are beholden to the American Water Company, which is owned by a British consortium, which is in turn held by a German corporation, which in turn has one of the worst environmental records on planet Earth. and they do a terrible job. And they're constantly, at least here in West Virginia, they're constantly in front of the Public Service Commission and the Supreme Court of Appeals begging for yet another rate increase, not because they want to build another water line, not because they want to make the water taste better, not because they want to make the water system more secure against terrorism. No, they need rate increases because they've got to do debt service for their shareholders. It's the greed sector. And the greed sector doesn't need to get its hands on Amtrak either, because the reason there is an Amtrak is the fact that the greed sector got out of the passenger rail business. And our government, your government, my government, we the people of the United States, us, the sovereigns, made a decision that it was a good thing to maintain passenger rail service in the United States, and that it would be better run by us than by the greed sector. But never mind that learning, never mind that wisdom. We're going to kill it by underfunding it and making some weird mishmash of state railroad authorities responsible for the tracks and the stations. What passes for thinking? What passes for thinking is beyond me. There's going to come a day, and it might not be too far in the future, when the idea of getting on the train looks pretty good as compared to getting on your 2 feet and walking. Because you see, here in America, when we get the $6.85 a gallon gasoline, it's not going to have embedded in it the tax structure that supports transportation infrastructure and personal rapid transit, unemployment compensation, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless. It's not going to have any of that embedded in it. It's going to be pure greed. And then, well, then hard choices will have to be made. And what will those choices be? Well, absent a rapid rail system and absent a viable air system, the hard choices will be stay home and eat or buy gasoline and don't eat. It's a Hobson's choice. It's Scylla and Charybdis. And who are we going to let make the choice? That's right, the greed sector. I'm astonished. The bill would authorize capital funds for projects on the Boston to Washington corridor, which accounts for nearly half of all passenger rail ridership. Regional, state, or local authorities would have the power to make decisions about services that best meet their local needs. What the hell does that mean? I really don't know what that means. There's a certain universality to the idea of rail service, and it's the service, the tracks are the same in West Virginia as they are in Ohio, as they are in South Dakota, and they have to be maintained, and tunnels are of a certain height. It sounds like you're getting a little far afield from that kind of universality with a line like regional, state, or local authorities would have the power to make decisions about services that best meet their local needs. Sounds like a recipe for real confusion. Sounds like a recipe for derailment. Oh, and best of all, it sounds like a recipe for greed. It's what we're good at, though. We used to be good in America at making things and building things and making things that made the world go. Now we're good at greed. And it comes to no good end. It never does. Never will. Well, let me revise that statement. Delay that. It comes to no good end for most of us. Now, that select few, what was that on WINS? 200 people in the world control more wealth than all of the poor people in the world combined? it comes to no good end for most of us. For a few of us, oh, it's a very happy ending. But they still don't hook U-Hauls to hearses. Let's go back to the phones. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Ed. How you doing this evening, Bob?
I'm all right. I think maybe the pollen may be getting to me.
Yeah.
Except Tommy.
A lot of the rest of them. I was going to check with you. I called Ray Hall's office and his house, too. I got an answer from both places, but they promised me in Washington that they would call me back on this thing where he voted on the bankruptcy bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I said, maybe he has got a reason for that, although I don't understand any reason why he could vote against the working people. And, one step further on that bankruptcy bill. If you take a person that has got a track record of making a good living, supporting his family, and then he gets hurt bad, and that he can't meet his obligations, this bankruptcy will make a crook or a bum out of a good working man or a good working person, I should put it. And I don't understand, and you know, the Republican Party ought to be real happy since he's compromised our position. And you know, I'm saying that without ever getting a call back. If I had gotten a call back, I would have been at least not so aggressively or over-aggressively toward him for doing that, because I supported him. And I would like to know why, you know, that anybody could do this. And, you know, between him and Joe Manchin and the fair-haired boy that I've got going to talk about Monday, I've got my stuff together on him and a couple more over here, if they don't shoot me before I get back to you. But anyway, I've got, I'm just wondering why that everybody has turned on the working man, or what appears to be.
Well, Ed, I talked to some folks in Congressman Ray Hall's office today, and it's my understanding that Congressman Ray Hall voted in favor of the bankruptcy bill because he felt that bankruptcies ultimately lead to costs that get passed on to other consumers. That was my understanding of the rationale that was given. That in fact, you know, the credit card companies cannot be counted on to do anything that will hurt their own position, and that they will always hurt other consumers rather than hurt themselves, and that maybe this was a way to keep them from hurting consumers as much.
Well, it looks to me like that the credit card company should assume the responsibility that they should by provoking people into getting these cards. And we get something two or three times a week, and we don't have a credit card, don't want one.
Right.
But it looks to me like that they're at fault as much as some of the people, and they're mixing in the people that can't help what happened to them versus the ones that just overload their budget with these credit cards.
Right.
And it looks like some kind of consideration would be given to the people. A person gets his legs cut off and just can't do his job no more. It looks like, and at least until they got a chance to be rehabilitated or whatever, that it don't look like they're being broad-minded enough, and they're just blanket coverage for everything that might occur in a person's life. And I don't think that that's quite fair to the person that's been.
Well, it was made quite clear to me, Ed, that Congressman Ray Hall did not deem this the best bill that could have come out of the House, and that should the day dawn when the Democrats get back into control in the House, that this will be fixed.
Well, sort of fixing it after the horse got out of the corral, ain't it?
You can say that.
Because in the meantime, a lot of people is going to suffer over this. And I am a little bit tanked out at what is happening, because where's that good old Democratic, we'll look out for each other? You know, the credit card, let them take care of their self. They got their own self. They are 50% responsible for what's happening, because they'll hand these cards out to just anybody.
Well, you know, I can't go to the mailbox without, you know, and you know, sometimes it's the checks. You ever seen those, Ed? They send you the check.
Yeah.
They send you the checks, and you know, just go write a check, man. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
And
you catch somebody a little bit short about that time, and it don't appear that they got an out, and then some people just wait on the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't throw those things away, Ed. I burn them. I don't want to run any risk with those
things.
That's
the way I do the same thing, Bob, but because of identity theft and...
I mean, I've burned them at a time when it would have been nice to have, you know, $1,000 to do a few things with. But I have, sure as God made little green apples, set fire to them because, it's an invitation to a party in hell as far as I'm concerned.
Well, maybe a few of those stiff-necked Republicans in that county... Maybe this will feed your ego a little bit.
Well, I tell you what, one thing happened with this vote, Ed, and that is this. I don't ever want to hear another one of these rotten Republicans criticizing Nick Rahal ever again for anything.
Yeah, after he compromised the Democratic Party and the people. But, I'll change the subject a little bit if you don't care.
Go right ahead.
I read in one of the papers today that a woman from another county was originally charging 45 miles for expenses.
Yeah, Karen Facemiller.
Yeah, and now she's turned it into 52 miles, so she could, and the actual mileage is 45.
Yeah, so she can get a tax dodge.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I need the Republicans to get on the air now and tell me how honest and honorable the representatives are.
Well, you know what? We could go to stone silence, Ed, for the rest of the program, just begging for some Republican to get all ethically charged and call in and repudiate Karen Facemeyer's rip-off actions. And you know what? We would have stone silence for the rest of the program.
Well,
because, that's the way they are.
They're going to justify it, though. They're going to explain, well, it wasn't, you know, what's 5 miles compared to what Bill Clinton did.
Exactly.
So we need to hear from you, boys. Y'all call Bob and let him make a hind end hole out of you. Bob, I'll talk to you later.
Take it easy, Ed.
Bye.
Bye. Ed raises a valid point, and that is this. Because you must remember Reagan's 11th commandment. That addled old criminal, Reagan. But his 11th commandment was taken to heart, and his 11th commandment was, thou shalt not criticize a fellow member of the party. Spin it, ignore it, justify it, do not criticize it. You know, for instance, somebody's out there calling a bill that allows massive pollution of our air a clear skies policy. Ignore it, spin it, justify it, don't criticize it. A congressman's out there funneling money from a charity fund for little children into a Republican smear machine. Ignore it, justify it, spin it, but do not criticize it. Thou shalt not criticize a fellow member of the party. That is Republican politics in simple. Do you see? And of course, it's morally bankrupt, it's ethically bankrupt, it's dirty politics, it's evil politics, it's wicked politics, it's slimy politics, it's Orwellian politics, it's Machiavellian politics. And as a result of that, it is, of course, Republican politics. Thou shalt not criticize a fellow member of the party. It works great for the Republicans. It doesn't work so well for me.
because I'm not quite as ethically and morally challenged as your garden variety Republican political operative. The one nice thing about Democrats is we know right from wrong. All right, time for our top of the hour news break. The phone number is 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Gardening for shady areas. Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro, makers of the Miracle-Gro Garden Feeder, which makes it a cinch to feed while you water. We all know that plants require light, but there are plants that thrive with little or no direct light, and that's good news for gardeners whose yards have a lot of shady areas. But before you run out and buy shade plants, you have to know exactly what kind of shade your garden has. Believe it or not, there are shades of shade. For example, there's light shade, an area that receives full shade only 2 or 3 hours during the day's peak. Then there's dappled shade, the sun shade pattern cast by trees. There's half shade for about 4 or 5 hours during peak sunlight times. And full shade, the kind you get all day under yard trees. There's dense shade, the ground below old evergreen trees or huge shrubs. And morning shade, afternoon shade, north wall shade, even lath shade, the shade provided by man-made latticework above a patio. Whew, who knew? Of all these shades, dapple shade and lath shade give the best conditions for the greatest variety of plants. Now, how do you know what plants will do best? Well, a plant's label almost always tells you what kind of light it needs. Your local nursery can guide you too. And here's a couple of hints. If a shade plant is getting too much light, you'll see scorching or bleaching in the foliage. If there's not enough light, flower production stops, the leaves become more open, and the plant leans into the light. 12 minutes. That's all it takes to water and deep feed most gardens with the Miracle-Gro Garden Feeder. You drop a pre-measured packet of Miracle-Gro into the feeder's bowl, hook it up to the hose attachment, and you're off and feeding. I'm Peter Strauss, asking you to join me again for another edition of Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro.
Dear Mama, my first 5 years, I'll learn a lot.
How to walk, talk, brush my teeth.
But for food, I'm pretty much counting on you.
I don't know what's good for me.
I can't use the stove, drive to the store. It's up to you.
So if you need help, there's WIC.
WIC, Women, Infants, Children.
They'll tell you what's good for me, even provide food. Because what I eat my first 5 years will affect me the rest of my life.
Love always, your child.
Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. For women, infants, children. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO.
P.S. It doesn't cost anything.
Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ag Council.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
200 years ago, Lewis and Clark discovered the West. That is, if you don't count the millions of American Indians who discovered it first. Because in 1804, Lewis and Clark left one civilization only to encounter dozens of others. Rich, diverse cultures like the Lemhi Shoshone, Clatsops, and Mandan Hadatsis. Cultures that had thrived on the Great Plains and Pacific Coast for thousands of years and despite everything are still here today. The Indians Lewis and Clark met could have ended their expedition many times, but saved it instead. Many times. With their food, horses, differences and compassion. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover, because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, what can Native peoples learn from the Lewis and Clark story? Well, I'll tell you what Native peoples can learn from the Lewis and Clark story. Native peoples can learn that when the white guys show up, your days are numbered. How many millions of Native Americans were there? And we're down to, what, a million maybe? A few hundred thousand? When the white guys show up, cancel Christmas. Yeah. Mentioned the Mandans. I think the Mandans are extinct. Maybe there are some Hidatsas left. But, of course, those of you listening on the internet don't get to listen to our top of the hour news. For the most part, these guys do a pretty good job at ABC. They led with Michael Jackson again. I don't care about Michael Jackson. You know, the stock market took another 100-point nosedive today. The third one in a week. Hasn't done that since 2003. God, you remember the Clinton administration when they'd say something like, well, this hasn't happened in 15 years. This hasn't happened since Reagan was in office. No, it took three 100-point nosedives in a week. That hasn't happened since 2003, almost 2 years ago. Driving that train high on cocaine, Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. Trouble ahead, trouble behind. Oh, my God. We're living a Grateful Dead song. Meanwhile, you know, in the other extremely pertinent news for America, an update on the Wendy's finger in the chili story. I don't know. What? Art imitates life. Life imitates art. I forget which one comes first. The finger in the chili. For those of you my age and older, anybody remember Laugh-In? No, Jesse, you don't remember Laugh-In. Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In? Do you know where I'm going because of the Wendy's finger in the chili story? Remember what they gave out every week? The Fickle Finger of Fate Award? And I guess Wendy's is the 2005 winner of the Fickle Finger in the Chili of Fate Award. So, let's see. We had the Michael Jackson story leading. We had the Wendy's Finger in the Chili story. We had a story about the hacking guy pleading guilty to killing his wife in Utah. And apparently, this one just blew me away. You can't get much more conservative than Utah, can you? I mean, in Utah, you can have a firing squad, right? If you're capitally punished. But did you, for those of you who are able to hear the broadcast, and then for those of you who want to research it on the internet, that's fine too. What Mr. Hacking will face in the way of punishment, having entered his plea. Now, this guy deliberately, cold-bloodedly, downright reptilianly executed his wife in her sleep. What's he facing? What did they say? 5 to 4? Did you? 5 to 40? 5 to 20? Okay, Jesse says 5 to 40. I recall being taken aback because it wasn't 5 to life. Or 5 to gas chamber. Now again, I'm no proponent of the death penalty. But I would expect in a red state that, you know, they'd heap the vengeance out with an ice cream scoop. A minimum of 5 years for executing your wife in her sleep? Well, then again, in Utah, you've probably got several of them, so what's one down? Three. This is... And nowhere in that newscast was there any news. I've referenced a couple of times in the last couple of weeks that I believe it was Carl Gustav Jung who said that people can only stand so much reality. So now our corporate media has figured out a way to make fantasy seem like reality such that we don't have to be bothered with the straight stuff. You know, we like it watered down. We like it with a sidecar. TV shows about people on islands with cameras filming them constantly are billed as reality shows. TV shows about people eating the intestines of something and a handful of worms are billed as reality shows. When, of course, they're nothing but pure fantasy. And now we've got another analogy. How about Fahrenheit 451? No, not the Michael Moore movie. Fahrenheit 451, the book by Ray Bradbury. Where you have television screens that cover entire walls all the way around the room. And scripts are individualized so that you are personally addressed during the course of the television show. What do you think about this, Bob? That's where we're going. Will we just keep this steady diet of fantasy? Will the band on the deck of the Titanic play until such time as the water fills their instruments? That's, as far as I can tell, that's where we are. You know, I use that old euphemism, you know, that such and such is like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. And, you know, that's a great analogy for a futile act. And I can't help but wonder when what passes for news is made up of fingers in chili, homicidal husbands, and Michael Jackson trial updates. Man, that's not rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. That's trying to play shuffleboard while the deck's at a 45 degree angle. I don't know. What's become of Mr. Jefferson's bold experiment? Now you've got these strange people who have this strange vision that Mr. Jefferson and Mr. Adams and Mr. Washington and Mr. Madison were and Mr. Hamilton were all some sort of strange evangelical religion industry followers like they are. What would any one of those individuals, Jefferson, Adams, Tom Paine, what would they think of America if they could see it now? Now, for my part, I tend to think they'd look at us and go, "This is what we pledged our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor for? Ah, send us back. We'll not do this. We'll just stay English. Never mind the tax stamps. We can get along." People trying to turn a deliberately created secular society into a theocracy on the order of the Taliban and calling it good government? A religious sect that claims millions of members that says the most humble Christian is more capable of governing than the most educated pagan, whatever the hell pagan means? Hey, but you got to understand what this crowd pagan means, anybody that doesn't believe the way that they do. You follow that? It's anybody that doesn't believe the way they do. I mean, I've got a story here where the World Baptist Evangelical Association, or whatever the name of that bunch is,
has declared that the death of Pope John Paul II is an opportunity to turn Catholics into Christians.
Ah!
What do you do? What do you do with these people? What do you do with this country? I'm Bob Kincaid.
Too much at the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes, 40 miles to the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota. Visit www.toyota.com. Sale ends 4/31.
Friday, April 29th, a who's who of leadership training comes together for the Maximum Impact Simulcast, the most powerful leadership event of 2005. Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski, motivational expert Brian Tracy, Florida State head football coach Bobby Bowden, best-selling authors Patrick Lencioni, Michael Gerber, Marcus Buckingham, and John Maxwell, America's foremost authority on leadership. Don't miss this unforgettable day of leadership development. Friday, April 29th.
Coming to the Raleigh County Armory Civic Center. For tickets, call 255-4600.
What is the most influential time in a child's life? Age 6? 8? 12? Actually, it's between 3 and 8. Every afternoon. I'm Denzel Washington, and I'm asking you to make sure every child has a safe place to go after school. Call 1-800-854-CLUB. Support the Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. You see, the problem with most of mainstream, and it's a particular problem with my side of the aisle. We tend to look at these weird, religiously obsessed people calling themselves Christians. They're not Christians. I know what a Christian's like. I was raised around them. Many of them are dead now. But these Dobson followers, you know, they're cultists. These people are members of a cult, no differently than if they were following Reverend Moon. And indirectly, many of them are following Reverend Moon. They just don't know it. A lot of these ministries hit financial hard times some years back and were bailed out by Reverend Moon. Now, some of you already know this. But a lot of people on my side of the debate look up and go, well, nobody really pays any attention to those people, do they? I mean, I've never met anybody who actually thinks like that. I really don't believe that they're as powerful as people make them out to be. There's that word we hate again. Believe. If I don't believe it, therefore it isn't real. Now that's great with faith. Not so good with the concrete, tactile, touch it, smell it, taste it, feel it, see it, you know, the five senses approach to reality. They are real. They are there. The Donald Wildman's hateful group that says, being Jewish brings on criminal behavior. They've got over almost 3 million people subscribing to that view. Coral Snake Ministries, this Kennedy Creeps outfit in Florida, has millions of followers.
James Dobson, who believes that children are better off when they are regularly and routinely beaten, has millions of followers. Well, I don't believe that. Now, I know you hate it when I do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. How many people sat in the ashes of Weimar Germany and said, that funny little guy with the Charlie Chaplin mustache, I don't believe there's that many people that follow him. I just don't believe it. How could they? He's a nut. He's an extremist. He has these extreme views. And what? 10 years later, 6 million Jews are reduced to ash in his ovens. 20 millions of Russian and Soviet citizens are dead because of his extremism. How many hundreds of thousands of American soldiers are dead? How many British? How many French? God, how many Germans? Because a bunch of people who they read the newspaper, they went to work, they were busy with their lives, and they said, I don't believe there are that many people that follow these people. You know, I just want to live my life. I want to go to work. I want my wife to raise the kids. I want to come home in the evening and relax. I just don't believe there are people that actually. I mean, those people are crazy. They're extreme. I mean, they've got a flatbed trailer that's dragging around a 5-ton rock with a graven image on it, and they're bowing down to it because they love the rock and they think God loves them for all. There can't be that many people that are like that. Yes, there are. Yes, there are, Sunshine. There really, really are. And they're going to all be huddled around their television this Sunday. Our friend Gene in Oregon sent this direct link to the American Family Association's website promoting their simulcast. What are they calling it? They're calling it Justice Sunday. Haven't had an original idea in their entire lives. Now, we've kicked off Mountain Justice Summer, and it's an idea in hopes of making a planet, a place where future generations, even future generations of weirdos like these people, can live and not be poisoned. And it was called Mountain Justice Summer. And, oh, Lord, did you see the hand-wringing in the newspaper? Oh, my goodness gracious, they might resort to violence and then a bulldozer. Oh, my God! And, of course, these anti-democracy, anti-freedom, anti-Christian values, power-hungry cultists have co-opted our word. So, Justice Sunday, stop the filibuster against people of faith. Oh, I'll debate these people. I'll sit down and calmly, come let us reason together. But you cannot begin the debate when one side starts with basic untruths. You cannot debate someone who starts with a pack of lies. 4 years. Activist courts, aided by liberal interest groups like the ACLU, have been quietly working under the veil of the it's one of them Jew words, it's hard to say, judiciary, like thieves in the night, to rob us of our Christian heritage and our religious freedoms. Federal judges have systematically grabbed power, usurping the constitutional authority that resides
and the other two branches of government, and ultimately in the American people. What a bunch of lies. That's all. Just lies. There is no assault on their religious heritage. If there was an assault on their religious heritage, would their cult churches still be open? Of course not. But we have religious freedom in America. So they're free to believe anything they want to. If they want to believe that the earth is 5,000 years old and Adam rode a dinosaur to work every day, that's okay. Because this is America. The problem, however, arises in their dirty little scheme when they want to compel the rest of the country to believe that Adam rode a dinosaur to work every day. And, you know, this is all about the judges. 205 of George W. Titanic's judges have been approved. What? 10 have been held up because they are wild-eyed, freakish extremists. Enemies of liberty and haters of the tradition handed down to us by the likes of Mr. Jefferson. And they are screaming that they are being deprived of their religious heritage because of 10 judges out of 215. Even John McCain admits that his Judiciary Committee during the Reagan years held up scores of Clinton appointees. The only difference between the way the Republicans treated the Clinton appointees and the way the minority party is treating these 10, not 215, 10 Bush appointees is the fact that the Clinton appointees couldn't even get a committee hearing. Mr. Kettle, let me introduce you to Mr. Pott. Lord. You know, the Senate is going to approve a Bush appointee who practiced law without a law license. In most states, that's a crime. But if we don't give these freaks, these cult members, everything that they want, they think that their religious heritage is being attacked. Do you understand? Their heritage isn't under attack. Our way of life and form of government is. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Beckley lawyer has found himself on the other side of the law after being charged with shoplifting. Stanley Selden of Beaver was charged with shoplifting a golf club from the Pro Golf Discount Store in Beckley Crossing. Police say the incident occurred April 6th after Selden visited the store and showed interest in the Titleist club. He later returned and tried to trade in two of his own clubs for the Titleist. The criminal complaint says Selden was happy with the trade and value of his clubs and walked out the door with the Titleist mixed in with his own. 3 days later, police found the Titleist in Selden's golf bag while he was playing around at the Grandview Country Club. Selden was arraigned before a magistrate and released on a personal recognizance bond. Tentative hearing has been scheduled for May 9th. A health awareness screening event is coming this weekend in Oak Hill. News Talk 620's Keith Thompson has that story.
The annual health awareness screening program will be held this Saturday from 7 to 10 a.m. at Oak Hill City Hall. The screening is a fundraiser for Oak Hill Business and Professional Women's Club. Club President Sharon Dickerson.
The company that does this has been doing it for years here in the Oak Hill area. A lot of people will get cards in the mail. They mail cards out to people who come regularly. But for those who have never been to it, you're welcome. Walk-ins are welcome. Just be there before 10 o'clock.
The basic screening is a multifacic blood test, which consists of 39 different blood tests for $40. There are numerous optional tests which can be purchased. Persons attending are advised to fast 10 hours prior to arrival, but water is permitted. No alcohol for 24 hours prior to testing. For more information, call 1-800-524-3414. I'm Keith Thompson for News Talk 620 WWNR.
It is going to be a great weekend. Here's the forecast for this evening. Still sunny with temperatures around 60. Tonight clear with a low near 34. Tomorrow patchy frost early in the morning, then becoming sunny and warm, high 65. Tomorrow night clear, low 35. On Sunday, sunny with a high near 66. Clear Sunday night, low 40. And then much warmer on Monday, partly cloudy with a high near 74. Enjoy the great weekend and have a nice weekend. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need
to hear about the joyful future of airline travel, today on Hightower Radio. Isn't it just pure pleasure to fly the friendly skies these days? I'm sure there are mule trains that offer more joy per mile. I know that airlines have been hard hit financially, but what management genius came up with the idea that, hey, I know, let's cut back on the employees that serve the public, eliminate everything from meals to movies, charge customers for services that should come with the price of a ticket, jam people onto the planes like chickens in a cage, even take away those little pillows that offered a modicum of comfort, and then run TV ads that show delighted customers and happy-go-lucky workers skipping along together and singing zippity-dee-da? Yet, we might soon remember the unpleasantness of today's travel as the good old days, for the industry's bosses are scheming on new ways to do less for customers while charging more. For example, why should you get a seat that reclines and has padded armrests for nothing, you bum? Airlines are thinking they could charge extra for such frills. Also, while the companies already are charging passengers for box lunches, they're now looking at the revenue possibilities of adding a fee for you to use a tray table. Luxury isn't free, bucko. Then there are your bags. Why should airlines check, load, and unload them for nada? However, since adding a charge for this is expected to tick off a whole lot of travelers, the savvy executives are contemplating a phase-in strategy, beginning by assessing a fee for priority baggage service. For $10 or so per bag, you could get yours unloaded ahead of all those deadbeats standing around the baggage carousel scowling at you. The nickel and diming is practically unlimited. Who says your orange juice should be free? An aisle or window seat could come at a premium. That flight attendant call button and the little air vents could be equipped with coin slots. This is Jim Hightower saying, the customer might always be right, but there'll be a fee for that in the friendly skies.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. They are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I'll tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
to me. But all the people that you meet come and they see the stars on their feet. Cause they don't get enough sleep. Oh, yeah. Tell me
you didn't. Welcome back. 22 and a half minutes before 9 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Friday night. Straight to the phones. The number to which is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-WWNR. That's 9967. Learn it, know it, use it. David's with us. Hey, David, you're Head On. David.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing quite well. Let's tidy up one little housekeeping detail. Please, wingnuts, please remember, multiple numbers of judges were never, ever seen given the light of day in the Clinton administration. That's why there's so many vacancies that Bush was allowed to put 200 right-wingers into. And these 10 that are being questioned aren't really conservative. They're idiots. They're liars. They're criminals. One practiced without a license. It's just a matter of time until Mr. Brooks from Alabama ends up as a nominee for something. He's a guy that said homosexuality in a written opinion should be punishable by death. Now, that's a novel approach.
Well, that's the Christian identity approach, David.
And that's what leads me into the next little point. First, a little tale about the numbers. As a young man, soon to be 40 years ago, I worked in a union facility. We had 140 people. 70 of them, 7-0, would never vote in any function, any way, no matter the cause, no matter the issue. 70 of them wouldn't vote. So that meant the electorate was down to 70. On any given election period, 10 of them were fishing, you know, had a bout of the flu, something. So now we're down to 60. There were two rotten apples at the top of that organization. Each one of those rotten apples had four, maybe five guys that would do whatever they said because it was a cliquish, we're on the inside, the rest of you aren't. The two rotten apples were officers in the union. So now we got a count of 12. Those 12, all they had to do was go arm twist, three apiece, and the election was set. The same arithmetic is in place. The right, the religious, nutcase right, is barely 10, maybe 15% of America, if it's that. And by sitting around, by not being involved, the rest of us let it happen.
Gone fishing.
You got it.
And again, let's do make something clear, David, because I'm sure you share experience similar, if not common, to mine. We're not talking about Christians here. Not by any definition that I understand it from the words of Yeshua the Palestinian carpenter.
Not by my own sainted mother, God bless her. Not by any of the women and men that really demonstrated Christianity in the churches I've attended. No, these people, you said it earlier, and I can't remember the exact phrase, but there is a religious industry that's in America now. These people aren't the Methodists or the Presbyterians or any of the denominations you and I grew up with. These are non-affiliated, apostolic, evangelical industries.
Yeah.
Like that Meyer woman, like that, you know, body double for Mike Myers from Austin Powers. I almost said the full thing for FB, but I shan't do that.
Mm-hmm.
The Reverend Hagee.
Yes.
Those people have industries that create immense wealth. Benny Hinn, that's the underpinning of the religious nutcase right. And a few people shrug, just as you drew the Hitler analogy. They just stand back and, oh, well, you know, they don't really mean that stuff about, you know, killing the Jews and the Queers and the Catholics at the moment of Revelation and at the moment of the, the rapture?
Yeah,
No. They're just kidding about that. That's just a little cheerleading technique. Don't worry about that. Well, they believe it.
I know. And the thing is, what people don't understand, David, is that these people, they're the ones who feel that they are anointed by God to stand in judgment of everybody. And by everybody, I don't mean just
me and you who are openly not accepting of their fascism, they'll stand in judgment of Baptists who believe different from them. They'll stand in judgment of Methodists who believe differently from them. They'll stand in judgment of Presbyterians and Lutherans and Episcopals and AMEs. And, yeah.
It amazes. It utterly amazes me because George Bush was quoted. George Bush has been heard to say that, yes, Jews will go to hell.
Yeah.
He said that once in an election. And Wilder and all the rest of them. Rove, George doesn't speak about that aspect anymore, but he believes Jews are going to hell. It would surprise me if, based on his interpretation of his brand of religion, it would take a great amount of conversation for him to convince me that he believes Pope John Paul II is going to heaven.
Well, you'll notice that he said he was a great man on earth and he did many great works.
Ah, there it is. He believes he's going to hell.
That's the code. That is the conservative evangelo-fascist code.
Good works on earth and a great man, but he is a believer in the God that I subscribe to, therefore, grab the trapdoor, Carl.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And you know, you've got it straight right here. Baptist official: Pope's passing may open doors for discussing faith. And it's this article. It's from the Agape Press, or as I like to call it, the Agape Press, because I read these things and my mouth just hangs there agape. What? Oh my God! Ah.
Or theirs is open and slack, unless somebody nudges them in the ribs and says, "Pull it together, honey. They're watching."
But. These people, I mean, this article is full of evangelo-fascist code. And the code is that if you're Catholic, I hope the Roman Catholics and the Orthodox, because I believe that what comes after life is not defined by the roll of the dice on one out of 7,000 sects on the face of this earth. You know, this is not a Rowan Atkinson comedy moment where he's sitting there in the red unitard with the horns and the tail and the cloven hooves and the pitchfork saying, "Oh, and by the way, all the religions, you were wondering which one's the right one? Mormons, the rest of you, come with me." You know, it's not like that. But these people, David, believe, honest to what passes for a god to them, they believe that the Roman Catholics are going to hell, the Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox, Syrian Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox are going to hell. The everybody that's not them is going to hell. And
so
it makes... Go ahead, please.
It's all the more reason. It's all the more reason to fear them and keep them out of our government on earth. Anyone can believe in any faith. There's a wonderfully, to me, funny, and now more than funny, George Carlin routine about, well, my invisible man in the sky tells me that you're wrong, so even though you feel you have an invisible man in the sky that tells you you're right, I'm sorry, you're wrong, therefore I'm going to kill you now. And that's what we're talking about.
That's not comedy David, that's not comedy anymore. That's reality. What's his name? The weirdo general. Oh, daggummit. What's his name? That addressed a group very much, you know, a group of dominionists or Christian identityists or whatever, addressed them and said, "Well, when I went over to fight in Somalia, I knew we was going to win because I knew my God was the real God and their God was an idol." Whoa!
If someone wants to believe that and do that on his knees beside his bed by himself, looking up at that God that only he can see, that's fine by me. But incorporating a faith based on no logic and no reverence for the founders of this nation, if they want to incorporate that into the laws, it's time for a wave of interest. It's time for a wave of work. And in the words of that great, great man who said many things that many of us need to hear, Mr. James Brown
How? Get on up. Get involved.
Get on up. Get involved. You're right, David. And but again, it's our side of the debate that is if these people get to take over, we're at fault.
We're standing and watching, Bob. We're standing and laughing. They're working. It only takes 10 or 15% of those people to topple an election. They've done it for two straight national elections. It's time we realize that we've got, like, never mind the soccer ball, to hell with Pilates. You know, let's give this politics stuff a little time. What do you think?
Kind of interesting. You know, it can really grab you if you pay attention. Again, coming back to my thesis, these people will slaughter the people that they don't agree with. And within the individual sex, there are people who are anxious for the slaughter.
Merit badges just before the rapture. They're going to get merit badges plunging them, you know, the saber of God through a Jew.
Fat Tony Scalia is a member of Opus Dei. And he is waiting for someone to give him the high sign, you know, W.C. Fields, you know, okay, it'll be like this. He's waiting for somebody to give him the high sign, and he gets to go out and slaughter Catholics of his own faith. He gets to go out and slaughter Catholics who might believe that condoms are a good idea. I mean, there's a bloodthirsty cultish element in all of these otherwise respectable faiths.
It's the most horrible reenactment of the ugliest, most dangerous Old Testament vengeful, punishing God. Their interpretation thereof and their amplification upon all that sort of stuff.
Well, Cherie called in last night, David, and we were talking a little bit about the fact that back just, you know, not even a millennium ago, you know, 400 or 500 years ago, 5 million women were slaughtered in the name of Christ, burnt at the stake, because they had the unmitigated temerity to give an unmarried woman some herbal remedy that made her period start instead of her getting all round and pregnant. And they got burned at the stake for it. And there was a book called The Maleficarum. The common title for it is the Hammer of the Witches. And now we've got a guy in the Congress of the United States who is associated with this movement, and they call him the Hammer. It's not coincidental.
No, it's not. Not at all. Not in the slightest.
And the Christian Identity Movement believes that people who have abortions and perform abortions should be slaughtered.
I've heard Paul Hill. I've heard him interviewed. I've heard Randall Terry. Well, no, it's not murder at all. It's self-defense. I'm defending the fetus. Therefore, if I put a rifle bullet through the brain of the doctor obeying the laws of the United States, I am a better man in the eyes of God. The God, my God, the only God that matters. Your God doesn't matter. I have a higher place in heaven because I put a bullet through the brain of a practicing physician. He has said that. They have said that.
Yeah. And they mean it. I mean, Eric Rudolph.
Thank you.
I have been to the website today of the American Family Association. David, I've been to the website of Jerry Falwell. I've been to the website of Pat Robertson. I've been to the website of Coral Snake Ministries. I've been to the website of Focus on the Family. I've been to the website of Donald Wildman and Randall Terry, and on not one of those, David, not on one of those have I seen a single denunciation of Eric Rudolph.
You won't. And if you're on the inside and if you know the high sign and can give him the password, they'll talk to you about his patriotism and what glorious things he did in the name of their God.
And yet, I'm the hater. I'm the hater. I'm the radical. I'm the extremist. I believe that if you're sick, you should be able to go to the doctor. I believe that the First Amendment protects my right to worship whomever or whatever or not at all.
If a 16-year-old is raped by her uncle, she should not have to bear that child.
Oh, but not, you know, no, you're an extremist for believing that, David.
Thank you. I take that as high praise.
You know, they have taken the debate and they have declared, you know, that they have painted us up to hear these cultists, and I am not ever going to call them Christians again because, by God, they are not. To hear these cultists talk, David, you know, our kind, ordinary, mind our own business types, we sit down to Sunday dinner of French fried fetus every week. It makes me crazy. Sorry.
That is, you know, at the very heart of what you and I are talking about is the concept. And the liberal is much more like this than they are. There is the live and let live. They don't see it that way. They've got to convert. They've got to alter. You and I, and most of us that are progressive or liberal or even mainstream Democrats, we would like reasonable laws, reasonable health care. Let's just build a nation and enjoy a little bit of life. Oh, no. No, no. These freaks want to change it all. They want to, like George Bush, they've experienced so many negatives throughout their life. This extreme, self-fulfilling, ugly prophecy they preach to each other is the only thing that gets them off. So it must be the only thing for the rest of the world. They want to install it worldwide. Well, Bob, I want to leave a few minutes.
All right, thanks, David. I appreciate it. You have a great weekend, all right?
Oh, you too. The sunshine is ever so welcome, as I'm sure yours is.
It's enough to pull you back from the brink of the bridge. It really is. Take care, David. Yeah, liberals, us, live and let live. Oh, do let's sing a chorus of Kumbaya. And while we're singing, Reverend Dobson is behind us with a hawk-billed knife ready to slit our throats. I'm not kidding. The fact that you have never met one of these weirdos does not mean the weirdos don't exist. I sit here and I attest to their existence because I have walked among them. I have been taken up on the high and lofty place and promised the earth and its dominions, if only I would join them. Yes. It's like something out of the print version. The movie's kind of tough to watch. The print version, the original version, the novel version of Joseph Heller's Catch-22. When they finally come to Captain Yossarian and say, "We'll let you out if you'll just do one thing." And he says, "Yeah, what?" And they say, "Like us." Can't do it. I'm Bob Kincaid.
They were charged with finding an all-water route to the Pacific, yet less than half of them knew how to swim. They nearly starved, ran out of supplies, and failed in their primary mission. So why 200 years later do Lewis and Clark still fascinate us? Maybe it's because it was a military expedition notable for battles that didn't happen. Or because the Indians they met gave them food, horses, and guidance. Maybe it's the teenage mother and the slave who were allowed to speak their minds. Or was it because they chronicled the breathtaking and abundant American landscape? For 3 years, Lewis and Clark traveled a trail of tolerance, enlightenment, and adventure that we'd soon find out was too good to be true. It's a trail that still winds through us all. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Holy cow, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn care show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Grass and weeds and flowers. Oh, Bill, it is too much for me. I need some help.
Well, Diane, maybe it's time to hire a professional lawn care service. But I suggest you investigate before making a decision. For example, does the company have a good track record? Check with neighbors and friends for references on the quality of services or call the Better Business Bureau. And check to make sure the company is licensed. Most states require licensing. Also, ask if the company is affiliated with a professional lawn care association. These groups help members stay current on new lawn care developments.
What steps should I take after I choose a service?
The company should tell you how it plans to take care of your lawn and what you can do to help it stay green and growing.
Great advice. Maybe I'll have time to enjoy some other outdoor activities. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Green and Growing.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI. It was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online. And even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL. Whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms. And unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be good.
Awesome. I can't even remember the last time I was at a concert.
I know. It's been like ages.
Man, I can't believe you got tickets.
Yeah, Josh, you're the man. You're the man. Yeah. Oh, come on, man. Don't thank me yet. I mean, it might not be as good as they say. You never know.
Whatever, bro.
I
mean,
guys, we got to keep moving. We're going to get there early.
Hustling up.
Wait, hold on, guys. ATM machine, I'm a little light on cash.
Wait up, Greg, man. I think I might have some for you.
Yep. You can be my sugar daddy.
Hey.
Yeah.
There you go, man.
Wow. Whoa, $50. Pretty generous. You sure you're Jewish? Ah, come on, Josh. Don't get all sensitive on me, man. It was just a joke. It was a joke. Will you tell him, Rob?
What? What do you want me to tell him? That I didn't think it was funny either?
The first step in fighting prejudice is taking a stand. Imagine the power of one voice. Find your voice at freedomcenter.org. A message from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and the Ad Council.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Did you hear that public service announcement? That is the Christian Identity Movement. That is the Dominionists. That is the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. Jews, we'll make jokes about you just before we put you in the ovens. You know, what can you say about a group that is tied together by the commonality of their hate for various and sundry separate groups of individuals? Listen to this, talking about the nuclear option, this bunch of religion industry cultists. Remember, we won't call them Christians anymore because we will not offend the name of Christ by associating him with them. talking about the nuclear option in the Senate, according to this press release from the American Family Association. He says, if this effort fails, the best we can hope for are likely to be mediocre judges who meet the approval of Ted Kennedy, Charles Schumer, and wait for it, you know who the last member of this whole unholy trinity of right-wing hate is? Say it with me. Let me feel the vibes. Ted Kennedy, Charles Schumer, and the evil one, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Can't we make her name spell 666 somehow or another? Let's see, H-I-L-L. Nope, that's 7. Well, we'll apply some miracle math to it till we make her be 666, okay? Killers. They're killers. I'm not kidding. Catholics? Into the ovens. Orthodox? Into the ovens. Presbyterians? Into the ovens. Lutherans? Into the ovens. Episcopalians? Into the ovens. Methodists? Into the ovens. And you think I'm kidding. There will come a day when you will realize that just because you didn't believe they existed didn't mean they didn't. Find me, diagram that one for me, if you know how to diagram. Back to the phones. Jose is with us. Jose, you're head on. Hey, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I had to call you.
Okay.
Do you think it's crazy? I witnessed on television about a year ago in Florida a nuclear bomb painted red for China. Is that crazy thinking?
Yeah. Nuclear war is crazy thinking. I mean, unless I misunderstand you somehow, Jose.
No, what I'm saying, they were showing on this year TV show,
mm-hmm,
if they had a bomb manufactured, painted red to be dropped on China in Florida somewhere.
Oh, yes, yes, that was the Moab. That was the mother of all bombs. Absolutely, and we went on and tried it out in Iraq, too.
I don't know, Bob. And 666, I'll help you out. My knowledge is the mark is the beast that comes up out of the sea, and that's the governments, and the people make up the governments.
Well, you know, it all has to do with Greek numerology. You know, because the book was originally written in Greek.
Amen.
And the way we translate it is
Selene.
666. Yeah, Koine Greek. Mm-hmm. We really don't know what it means. But Jose, you know, you're a reasonable guy. And it, you know, you always offer me a blessing every time we part on the phone.
Yes.
And I honor that, and I respect that, and I appreciate that. But the sad thing is there are people out there, because of the nature of your blessing, they don't think that you have a personal relationship with God.
Well,
because you don't share what they believe.
Well, that's I understand that, Bob.
And they're willing to kill for it, Jose.
Oh. Tell me about it.
And it
they hung Christ on a torture stake. You know what they'd do to anybody else that tries to follow in his footsteps.
Exactly.
That's the reason I have to call in there with the name Jose.
I understand.
Because, see, I'd have to change a language on him. Espanol?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I was just worried about that. It was on my mind. I didn't know if you'd talked about it as a topic. Just went to the tax place, paid my taxes today.
Mm-hmm.
Tax people, my address they had on mine from Atlanta, Georgia, at the IRS.
Right.
Had for the place here in Sophie, the tax place, their box number was on my paperwork. There's a guy in there today, and he said it'd been a month, and he hadn't got his returns, and he was in there to get it. And I just heard where the president paid, he made $400,000. That's $100,000 less than a half million.
Yeah, that's the $400,000 he's willing to tell us about.
Well, he'll have to answer if he's falsifying his income, you know.
Maybe in the hereafter, Jose. Maybe in the hereafter.
Well, we'll just keep calm, and I ain't going to talk too much longer.
Okay.
Hope y'all be blessed. Right. And Yeshua.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you as well, sir.
Hang in there.
I'm trying to, and you have yourself a wonderful weekend, all right?
All right. Good night, Bob.
Good night now. And Bob? Bob, you're head on.
Bob?
Yeah.
Hey.
It's Bob.
Yeah. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. This could get confusing.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Remember my concert back in October?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We had a great time.
We did indeed. I had a lot of fun having you guys in.
Yeah. Well, the concert went very well.
Good.
Yeah. Something I want to talk to you about, sort of related. Have you heard of James McMurtry?
The name strikes a chord with me, and I'm trying to...
He is the son of Larry McMurtry, who wrote Lonesome Dove.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah.
He was at Mountain Stage a few months ago, and I heard Ron Soule talking about one song that he sang at Mountain Stage. And half the audience got up and cheered, and about 20 people walked out.
Well, I can almost guess which way that one went.
Yeah. Now, this is the role of artists and musicians.
Yes.
That they can raise consciousness like this. The song's called We Can't Make It Here Anymore.
We Can't Make It Here Anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's on James McMurtry's website.
Do you happen to have that website?
Yeah. It's www.jamesmcmurtry.com. And you can listen to the song.
And that's McMurtree, or is it T-R-Y?
T-R-Y.
.com.
Yeah. Mentions Walmart, the greedy guys, try living on $5.15 an hour.
Right.
Basically what the song's saying. And I just happened to think about it tonight, and I downloaded the song, and I turned your show on the computer, and I thought, I'm going to give Bob a call.
Wonderful. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
For those who might not be able to get it, give us a rundown on what we're talking about here, as far as the song is concerned.
Well, it's basically about corporate greed.
Yeah.
And how the jobs are being shipped overseas, and just like song says, we can't make it here anymore.
And that operates on a number of different levels.
Make, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Make it as in fabricate it, and make it as in survive from one day to the next.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jesse, my producer, is looking it up even as we speak, so I'm going to get to listen to it after we're off air.
Okay.
And we might even be able to use it in the show once in a while.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, thanks for the recommendation, Bob. I appreciate it.
Okay.
I hope I'll hear from you again soon.
You sure will.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, all right.
Bye now.
Bye.
And time for a quick break. And when we come back, your calls are welcome at 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967, WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
We're there. Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
We're there.
When disaster strikes.
We're one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Any of you guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even
even reply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our fun local events.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Denzel Washington for the Boys and Girls Clubs.
In my hand, I'm holding a 2-inch by 3-inch piece of paper that has kept millions of young people off drugs, out of gangs, and in school. It's a membership card from the Boys and Girls Clubs. Every day, another 300 kids will join clubs all across the country. That's 300 kids who will be picking up a membership card instead of a gun or a needle or a knife. You can help. Support the Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
To learn more, call 1-800-854-CLUB.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. 18 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. You know, this country has moved in cycles. And some of it is involved with the ability to learn and to comprehend. And to and for the sharper elements, to not repeat past mistakes. What does this mean? Well, ask yourself a question. Now, among the conservatives, what's one of their favorite phrases right after hating Hillary first? He's one of them Massachusetts liberals. Or if you get far enough down south to where they can't even pronounce the name of the state anymore, he's one of those, he's one of them, Massachusetts. How do you spell that? I grew up with people who said Massachusetts. M-A-S-S-A-T-O-O-S-U-S-S? Massachusetts? He's one of them Massachusetts liberals. That's usually the next thing you hear right after you hear Ted Kennedy or Barney Frank or... John Kerry, God knows we were up to our necks in he's a Massachusetts liberal during the election cycle. But what does that mean, Massachusetts liberal? I'll tell you what it means. It means that the people of the great state of or are they a Commonwealth? I'm sorry, I'm down on my American civics this evening. Virginia's a Commonwealth, Kentucky's a Commonwealth, Massachusetts Commonwealth? Okay, we'll for the sake of argument, we'll say they are. You can email if you want to. But the people of that great Commonwealth have been through more in their history, ups and downs and backs and forths, than just about any other constituent part of this union. Ooh, the Republicans hate it when I say union. But the people of Massachusetts have been from pillar to post. Now, the Jamestown settlement was 1607. 13 years later, a group of people on a religious / commercial enterprise landed in Massachusetts Bay. You'll notice I can say Massachusetts. That's because I'm a trained broadcast professional. Landed at Plymouth Rock. Fell on their knees and prayed to God, and then fell on the natives and prayed on them. Really. But moreover, they set up one of the first permanent governments among the Anglos in America was a theocracy. You understand? It was rule by religion. We've been down this path before. The people of Massachusetts have been down this path before. And they were ruled by religious judges. Okay? Religious judges ordered the burning of women in Salem. Religious judges came up with things like the dunking chair, where people who had fallen asleep in church were drowned for their transgressions. Do you see where I'm going? Massachusetts has been down this road. Massachusetts finally got their fill of having God rammed down their throat by people who wouldn't even recognize Jesus Christ if they saw him on the street. And I believe Massachusetts was the first, if not only, colony to pass an active ban on members of the clergy serving in government capacities. Now, this is just history. You can look it up. I encourage you to. So do please remember, when you hear these cultists talking about our religious heritage in America, what was founded on principles of the Ten Commandments, when you hear that, please, in your head, let a little red light start flashing really hard to let you know these cultists are lying again. Because lying is what they do. Because they serve no God that you, decent people, recognize. These people in the American Family Association and Falwell and Robertson and Dobson and the Coral Snake Ministries, they have more in common with the ancient Mexica god Huitzilopochtli, who had to be nourished on human blood, than they have with any of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Or, by his proper name, Yeshua. And Massachusetts has been down that road. And they banned their clerics from trying to ruin their lives by holding elected office. And then by the 1850s, and we've discussed it before, there came along the know-nothings. And the sons of the order of the preservation of the flag of liberty. And they adopted slogans to deal with the burgeoning immigrant population in the Northeast, things like, no Irish need apply. And the heart and soul of some of the worst racism in this country was born in anti-Irish and anti-Catholic hatred, and now it tries to rear its ugly head yet again. So why is Massachusetts a liberal state? Massachusetts is a liberal state because in the awful convolutions of history, Massachusetts has also been a very conservative state. And that conservatism made those people miserable. That conservatism filled ordinary Massachusetts family with abject horror and pain. Some of the most awful judicial decisions came from Massachusetts. As recently as the 1950s, banned in Boston, applied to books, music, artworks. Yeah, remember, Massachusetts, wasn't it? Massachusetts put Peter, Paul, and Mary on trial for Puff the Magic Dragon. That's one of those sad drag songs. And so in the last few years, the last couple or three decades, Massachusetts has become a liberal place. Because God knows the ground has been wet with the red blood of the citizens thereof, thanks wholly to state-sponsored religion of the type that the Dominionists and the Christian Identity Movement and the Dobsons and the Falwells and the Robertsons and the Robinsons and the Kennedys and the Benny Hinns and the Reverend Dollars, of the type that they yearn for and think is the heritage of America. So that's in large part why the lowest divorce rate is in Massachusetts. That's in large part why that's one of them bastions of liberalism. And you know what? Please, you know, history's what history is. I'm just telling you a little bit. You might not know it. All these agape-mouthed red staters who talk trash, another one of them Massachusetts liberals. Why, their great-great-grandpappies were doing the same thing 150 years ago. You do realize, don't you, that among the great and genius military minds of the Civil War was a plan to secretly go to Massachusetts, dig a ditch around it, and float it out to sea. I kid you not. Southerners wanted to sneak up to Massachusetts, dig a ditch around it, and float it out to sea and excise it from the Union. And that's the great-great-grandpappies of Messrs. Dobson and Falwell and Robertson and Wildman and Terry, Randall Terry. Yeah. Wow. Bet you didn't know that, did you? Conservative stupidity goes way back. Beauty is only skin deep, but conservative stupidity runs clean to the bone. When we come back, your phone calls. After our bottom of the hour break, this is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A McDowell County man has been convicted of 110 counts involving sexual abuse. A McDowell County Circuit Court jury deliberated over 2 days before convicting 44-year-old Samuel Saunders of War. Prosecutor Sid Bell says the crimes occurred over 10 years when the female victim ranged in age from 8 to 18. Two men accused in the arson death of a prominent McDowell County politician and doctor will remain in jail. A judge yesterday denied bond for 25-year-old Tom Owens and 28-year-old Charles Jason Lively. Both are from Yeager. Both are charged with first-degree murder, first-degree arson, and conspiracy in the death of Eb Keister Doc Whiteley Jr., who died March 15th in his home from fire. Circuit Judge Booker T. Stevens directed defense lawyers to file former written motions for a bond. Stevens indicated he'll revisit the bond request after receiving the motion. Some West Virginia doctors say it could be more difficult for Medicaid patients to get services if money for the program is cut off. Dr. Alex Scaff, a Charleston anesthesiologist, says that if the reimbursement for doctors is decreased with proposed cuts, they might not be able to treat some Medicaid patients or might have to reduce the number of days they can see Medicaid patients. The State Board of Education has ordered Hampshire County School Board to return $35,000 to the state after a review found the grant was not approved. The review's findings were detailed today at the state's meeting in Parkersburg. The recent completed legislative session was a disappointing one for Raleigh County. Bills that would have added a sixth magistrate and formally created a building code authority failed to pass. Magistrate Mary Jennings personally campaigned for a sixth magistrate before a legislative interim meeting at the Capitol. A Senate bill did not get out of the Judiciary Committee, while a House version also failed to pass. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. Great weekend coming up. This evening clear, temperatures around 55. Tonight clear with a low 34. Could be some scattered frost in the morning. Otherwise Saturday sunny, high near 65. Clear Saturday night, low again 35. Sunny on Sunday, high upper 60s, and Sunday night clear with a low near 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials.
Oh. Yeah.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client function.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh. Is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, he'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org. A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Let's see. Yeah, about 27 minutes before 10 o'clock. 27 minutes to get your last thoughts in before the weekend is upon us. Let's go to the phones. Okay. Try again. We had someone, and... Doggone, I gotta have a little patience. Just so you can, in case you're wondering, I'm sorry, I'm sure some of you wish I would just let go of this issue. I can't. We're talking about the greatest danger that America faces right now. A danger far greater than anything Osama might have planned. Osama is 8,000 miles away. These people are right in amongst us. This Justice Sunday, in case you're wondering, it's going to be simulcast and closed-circuited. And it's not for you and me to see. They don't want us to see it. That's how secretive they are. Okay, Jack's with us. Hey, Jack, you're head on.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for
coming.
You know,
I always have given money for sinus to cure a lot of diseases and that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you, do you believe in cloning?
Do I believe in it? I don't think it's possible yet to clone a human being.
Well, what I want to tell you, if you tell me there's some meat down to my market there, it's been cloned, and I wouldn't want it.
Oh, no. I don't want any Frankenfood, Jack.
Well, that's what I'm telling you, sir, and... And another thing, that cloning, did they clone God?
No, but apparently these people have just simply recreated him out of some sort of whole hateful cloth.
Well, they did it so much. They're trying to go over his head. And I believe what the Lord put here is for us to eat and nothing more.
Yeah.
But it's a shame when I could donate to Sinus for something. I think they could cure cancer and everything without going around trying to clone animals.
Yeah.
So that's what bothers me so much about this cloning.
And it's not just the animals, Jack. It's the vegetables. It's the corn. It's the potatoes. It's the wheat.
Oh yeah. Well, let's get down to if I had to go for it, I'll eat oats and rice or whatever I can find. I'm sure stuff right here on my property could be eaten.
Well, you know, most people don't realize it, Jack, but the single largest purchaser of rice in the world is Anheuser-Busch. Because they use a lot of rice in Budweiser beer. And they announced a couple of days ago, Jack, that they absolutely refuse to use genetically modified rice.
Well, where is EPA on this stuff? I'm all mixed up.
Well, they're bought and paid for, Jack.
Well, this cloning is something ignorant. If the Lord didn't put it here, buddy, it wasn't meant to be.
Well, I tend to agree with you. So, you know, I mean, they've cloned and genetically modified potatoes that have bacteria built into their genes now so that when the bug bites it, the bug dies. But we don't know what it does to us when we eat.
Oh, yeah, they could clone mosquitoes. Oh, my God. Let's look at this in a real world life. Like, they're so geniuses. And I don't know if it's Democrats or Republicans doing this cloning.
Well,
they go overboard with things.
It's the giant agribusiness. And they are for the most part supported by the Republican Party.
Well, if the Lord didn't put it here, buddy, it wasn't meant to be.
I tend to agree with you on that.
Well, that's where I'm at, Bob. I appreciate you taking my call, but other things goes on here. I don't want to get back to Iraq because That's a no-win situation, and it's a shame.
Yes, it is.
Still, Bob, that cloning is for the birds, buddy.
Well, it could.
The Lord didn't bring it here, buddy, and you don't do that.
It could wind up starving. It could wind up starving the planet to death, Jack.
Well, diseases. Think of diseases and everything that they think that they can sell it to market, and somebody say, "Oh, we'll be labeled that it was cloned." Well, I guarantee, if I got to eat oats and rice or whatever I need, I'll do that.
No, I don't blame you.
And they can take that right back to the stockyard, where it came from.
I'm right there with you.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jack. Have a good weekend.
Yes.
All right. And Mel. Hey, Mel. You head on.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. You?
Oh, I was doing pretty good. I was enjoying a good steak tonight, and my waitress happened to be a stinking Republican, kind of ruined my dinner.
Yeah, well, that will put you off your supper, that's for sure.
Yeah, she told me that her brother was getting ready to go to Iraq to protect our freedom.
Oh, God, one of those.
Yeah, and tried to explain it to her. You know what, it kind of, I reckon what you call it, sparked some old memories of mine when I was in Kent, Ohio, during the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had people telling me crap like that. And, you know, and some of those same people 20 years later apologized to me and said, yeah, I liked you except for your stand on Vietnam. And 20 years later they came and told me, I'm sorry, Melvin, you was right and I was wrong. And a big crap of some of the same people right now aren't biting the same and, you know, taking the same thing, hook, line, and sinker.
Well, the definition of insanity, Mel, is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result, isn't it?
Well, you said a while ago, conservative stupidity. You know, how in the world can 67% of the people still say that we're over there fighting for our freedom? I mean, you know, the guy didn't do nothing to him. We created the man.
Sure,
I mean, are they not looking at history, you know, like we did the Shah of Iran?
No, Mel, in answer to your question, they are not looking at history. History is something they don't want to look at because it doesn't fit in with their make-it-up-as-you-go-along agenda. That's why you can't have a legitimate debate with most of these people because everything they start with is a lie.
Yeah, you ask them if they've seen so-and-so, they read so-and-so, they say, I wouldn't read that.
Oh, no.
Bush bashing, you know?
Yeah, because how they feel about Dear Leader is far more important than the health of our nation.
Well, like you said about chicken voting for Colonel Sanders, and I think everything goes in cycles, but I'm telling you what, it's got me worried. Like I've said and said and said, you know, the politicians corrupt don't shake me up, but the people being so stupid and so dead set against each other is what gets to me. That's what worries me.
Oh, it scares me to death because, you know, I mean, you've got grandkids, I've got little kids. This is the world that they're going to be expected to live in, and if these people get their way, Mel, it's going to be their way or, you know, what, the re-education camp?
Well, you know what? I've always wondered how, you know, if you believe in the Bible, how they would ever get anybody to take the number 666 on, you know, however they take it on their forehead or whatever. But now I can see the ignorance that's, and, you know, because they don't believe the same thing I do, don't make them ignorant. But when you vote for somebody, you know, now I hear you, heard you a while ago saying Bush is going to go into the train business. My Lord, you know, wake up. You know, Bob, all I want to do is let my kids survive, you know. That's all I want. I don't even care about myself, but I'd love to see your kids and my grandkids survive.
Yeah.
Can't they see what we're doing? Are they stupid enough to want a one-party system with no checks and balances? Give me a break.
Well, you got to remember, though, Mel, it's not all entirely them. There's a hell of a lot on our side who are sitting back and chuckling and thinking, well, you know, I don't know any of those people. They can't be like that. And that attitude 60 years ago, Mel, cost 50 million human lives.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's kind of, you know, different things. But I don't want to, flop around or anything, but you listen to the news in between your break there. You know, they told the stock market had dropped the biggest drop in 2 years. It's a shame these guys didn't have half their Social Security in that, you know?
Can you imagine? I mean, if that's not an object lesson, I mean, for the year, right now, for the year, the Dow is down, what, 6%? The NASDAQ is down 12%? You're exactly right, Mel. Can you imagine if our Social Security funds were in that? What would be happening to our retirees?
Well, and like you said, too, the guys that do call themselves Democrats, you know, in your news spot there, too, said that the Raleigh Countyans were disappointed with the legislature, session here just passed. I thought, my Lord, I think more than us Raleigh Countyans are, everybody should be. The Democrats, if they are Democrats, are acting like Republicans, and, in this bankruptcy thing here in the federal government, my Lord, is anybody ever going to have a backbone? I do give Senator Byrd credit that he has spoke up and he's, like Kerry did there, he said the biggest bunch of liars and cheats he ever seen, and he didn't apologize. And Byrd's been that kind of man, too.
Yeah.
You know, if a guy acts like and smells like a dictator, and he says there's nothing wrong with dictatorship long as he's a dictator, then, Byrd said it, called it like it was. And so far as I know, he didn't apologize for it. Now, like I said, I don't understand some of their voting, like on this bankruptcy thing and all, but maybe they know something I don't.
I don't know. I mean, I know what the explanation that was given me, Mel. And that is that
I'm going to be asking, too, so I'm going to see what they give me. But I heard you talking earlier in your show, and then I'm going to get off of here, but you said no child left. What did you say there?
No child's behind left.
Yeah. I heard a good one on that, too. It said no child left a dime.
Ain't that the truth?
I like that one. And I'd like for you to start referring to a good, great senator, you claim Mr. Weak or Senator Weakman. I like Smokey.
Oh, Smokey. Senator Smokey, Smoke.
Smokey Weeks.
Oh,
and but I'm upset. And like your song there said, I'm going to try to do something about it. And what I can voice, my opinion, I don't care if I'm sitting eating a steak or whatever, nobody's going to get in my face and tell me that they're there just getting ready to send their brother over to protect me. You know what? I feel sorry for her brother, but he's not protecting me, and I'm going to tell her that he's not.
Well, of course. I mean, and you're doing her a favor if you can help educate her a little bit, Mel, because that poor boy is not, I mean, when he comes back from Iraq, he's not going to be supported. You know, God forbid he should be injured over there because the VA is not going to be adequately funded for him.
I seen a good license plate the other day, I thought of you when I seen it. Said soldiers sleep in boxes, deserters sleep in the White House.
Oh, brother! Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, I like to have some of them made up.
I'd like to have about 1,000 of them to pass out.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty true. Like you said, these poor guys coming home found out that these corporations can take your jobs from them. Or put them, start them over again at nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. Like I said a while ago, it's like it goes in trends, and I've seen it. I'm 56 years old. I've seen it go a little to the right and a little to the left, and the people had enough of it, and they see through it. But what worries me is, like I said, so many people weren't catching on. I think some of them are. But,
well, I don't think this country's ever...
I sort of worry about the Vietnam deal. If it takes them 20 years, I probably won't be close to being around.
Not even to accept the apology, Mel.
Right.
I know.
Hey, something? It's awful to be right when it don't matter.
Yeah, and sometimes there's more pain in that than being wrong.
Well, you're right. It's like being in second place, to win and... You just well have been in 50th place, and you're kind of right on that. Well, Bob, I'm not going to take up any more time.
All right. Thanks so much, Mel. You have yourself a great weekend. I hope we'll hear from you soon.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Take care. And Jethro, welcome.
If it's not madness, tell me what it is, please.
No, it's madness. Definitely madness.
You know, they were showing on the news last night, you know, the big victory in Fallujah. You know, the fighting continues.
Mm-hmm.
They've got that place locked down as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the nighttime curfew, yada, yada, and they're still fighting.
Well, it's their home. Why wouldn't they?
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, the press and everything, they've led us to believe that everything's fine and we've taken over and we're in charge. But that's just, it's simply not the case. And it's a microcosm of the entire scene. You know, we don't have anything in control over there. You know, we're still scraping and biting and, you know, we're on the way down. We're losing.
Well, I saw, Jethro, where even the puppet government in Iraq is at the point of one of those clerics is urging a blanket amnesty for all so-called insurgents. That is the level of their desperation.
Which is, of course, and we don't want that.
Oh, no.
And meanwhile, you know, we've got plans to maintain 14 permanent bases, I think one in Afghanistan and 13 or so in Iraq, so...
Well, Jethro, do you remember back when we used to laugh at the totalitarian extremes of the Soviet Union and, you know, they'd go and occupy some country and you'd hear the official news agency report that, brave leader of Kyrgyzstan has invited the Soviet Union to come in and help restore order. You remember those?
Yeah, help us out. Well, Khrushchev, you know, said in the 50s or early 60s that, you know, they wouldn't really have to fight, fire a shot, that communism would be taken over here, you know,
well,
without war or anything.
Well,
that's what's happening.
I couldn't help but be reminded of all of that, Jethro, when I saw a story 2 days ago that said, Afghan President Hamid Karzai has invited the United States to stay in Afghanistan as long as it needs to, and in fact to increase its participation.
Right. But the puppet government and the people in Iraq, they want us out.
Oh, badly.
So we'll see what happens there. But as soon as we, as soon as we start moving troops and stuff out and our troop numbers dwindle, it's just going to be just like Vietnam. That's when the hammers are going to drop.
No, that's when the killing fields really open up.
And that's what happened in Nam. Our troop strength dwindled, and bingo, they started attacking. It was lucky that there was... that most of them got out alive.
Well, you know, and that speaks to how we get out. Do we trickle out, or do we get out?
Well, if you look back at history, you'll see that the British had a little trouble getting out. You know, they were trying to retreat under a white flag, and I think the Iraqis, it might have been Afghanistan, they slaughtered them.
Oh yeah, they attacked the rear and. I mean, that's a shooting gallery.
Right. So they were just, I think it was a final, you know, don't come back. And so we're back in there. And see, what gets me is, like you and me on some of these other callers we're talking about, you know, we're witnessing the dumbing down of America. People have no historical context. And I can think of one caller in particular that has no history, no education, completely ignorant. But he's going to try to, you know, he's going to try to, he's a revisionist.
Yeah, that's a fancy word for make it up as you go along.
Right, and then, you know, and then when you don't go along with this revisionist crap, then somehow you're some terrible liar.
Yeah, right.
But it's widespread. It seems like to me it's becoming so widespread as to, you know, be assumed normal.
Jethro, it is socially systemic. That's why I sit here for 3 hours a night. You know, a lone voice crying in the wilderness.
Yeah, and it's like this Bush attitude. If you're an intellectual or you have an education and you use the education, you know, use your smarts, well, then you're looked down on, or you're some kind of a smart aleck.
Well, you're
a liberal.
You are to be despised. I mean, you got to remember that the liberal elite intelligentsia was who the Gang of Five had murdered in the Cultural Revolution in China.
Exactly.
I mean, it got in Mao's China. It got to the point where if you wore glasses, you were a dead man.
Right. Well,
it's the same attitude, Jethro.
I believe we've done that in Central and South America. And as a matter of fact, I think, you know, we've got a clandestine program going on now of taking out the educators and the. You know, the people who worked in the labs and different things like that. So we've had our own little program of rubbing out anybody that you know, might want to stand up.
Don't you find it interesting, Jethro, that the guy who was to be the lead opposition candidate for Vicente Fox in Mexico, the mayor of Mexico City, don't you find it interesting that suddenly he's been charged with some sort of the trumped-up crime, and now he's in jail and can't run against the, against one of George Bush's best friends?
Well, you know, and the terrible thing about that is it's coming here sooner than later. It's on its way here because nobody cares. They, you know, that's good. Put him in jail, lock him up, punish him, as long as it's not me or anybody I know.
Right. You know, because that makes us feel better about ourselves by, you know, whipping up on someone smaller, weaker, poorer, dumber. Sure.
Right, and I think just like the Romans did, I think the government's going to start whipping up some of this religious fever, and, you know, it's kind of scary. You don't know what's going to happen.
There's no kind of about it, Jethro. It's terrifying. I mean, this is cold sweats at 3 a.m. stuff.
Yeah, and then you're just waiting for the knock at the door, you know?
Yeah. You know, the brown shirts.
Papers, please.
Yeah, these guys are working toward their own little modern Kristallnacht. And people get so mad when I compare them to the Nazis. But it's not my fault that they fit the mold.
Right. Now, even Kyle and his crowd, he's starting to worry about them coming for his Bible and stuff. So, and Kyle made some sense there, actually. He said, you know, when we started going after pornography, that opened up the gates for them to start going after everything.
Right.
So.
But the thing is, that kind of thinking will get you sent to the re-education camp under the Christian Identity Movement. I mean, these guys are willing to kill.
Exactly.
You know, one of the bad things about the Eric Rudolph business, you'll notice that under the Clinton administration, they were more than willing to use the federal death penalty to send Timothy McVeigh to his reward. Right?
Exactly.
What did they do with Eric Rudolph?
Rudolph's got some connections here.
Sure he does.
You know, I think he was sponsored by someone, FBI,
well,
or whatever.
Well, he's part of the Christian Identity Movement. He denies that, but by virtue of there not being a trial, no prosecutor is ever going to put that to the proof, and we're not going to find out the real connections between Eric Rudolph and people like Randall Terry and the Christian Identity Movement and the Dominionists.
Yeah, Rudolph doesn't look rough enough. I mean, so, you know, I think somebody's providing him plenty of money and backing, and
well, read his statement. It's I mean,
he's been living in the wild and stuff. He didn't look very hardened or wrinkled up or anything. He looked fresh to me.
Right, and he's got all the code words in his statement, Jethro. He's got all the right-wing religious code words.
Yeah, so he, you know, agency's probably forgetting who he is now. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just. I don't know where the end is. I mean, this whole thing of Christ and the tolerance and love and forgiveness, repentance, that seems to have gone out the window. It's now, you know, put him before the firing squad or put him in jail.
Well, you know, for the longest time, for the vast majority of Christian history, you know, the last 2,000 years or so, that love thy neighbor thing has just never really played that well.
Exactly. And anti-war, if you attend a church that's backing this war and thinking that we're fighting for freedom and for God and for Jesus, you're going to the wrong church, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because that's complete madness, and basically you're serving the dark side, and you've
well, that's
why this was turned, you know, completely backwards.
Yeah, that's one of those places where the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter would walk in and say, "Oh, ye generation of vipers."
Yeah.
It's madness, Jethro. Have a great weekend, man.
Hey, Bob, what about Sunday morning, about 11 o'clock?
I know. Later, man.
Later.
See ya. All right. You know the drill. The show was produced tonight by the Jesse Fulmer, engineered by Randy Kerbway. Announced at least in part by Brian Reser and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they are indeed working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is, of course, archived every night by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.com.